All right, got a great podcast for you here. Adam and I are breaking down just some of the differences between the Nets as an organization, stability, a word you're going to hear a lot on the podcast, as compared to some of the other teams in the NBA. We get into a few other topics as well. As a point of reference, we did record this Thursday afternoon before some of the news around Kyrie Irving and vaccines and stuff had come out. Likely, we would have probably at least made mention of that on the podcast, but we had already put this one in the books by the time that news came out. So that's why we don't mention it here. We'll get into that a little bit more on Monday, if there's even anything to get into. Could be a situation, you know, that we know a lot more information about when it comes. Gonna get into it all here, but first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day, streaming live on YouTube as well. I am Doug Norrie, owner-operator DFSR.com, but you don't care about that because that's Adam Armbrecht, the host of the One Giant podcast covering the New York Football Giants as well, but you don't care about that either. We're here to talk about the Brooklyn Nets on a Friday as we really start gearing up for the season. This feels sort of like the end of the offseason for us in some ways because we go back to a five-day-a-week schedule starting next week, so look forward to that. We're going to be coming at you every single day. Make sure it's the first place you go and listen. We really appreciate everyone that tunes in every single day for the Locked On Nets podcast. Buddy, how are we doing today on a Friday?
It's a Friday. So you're always feeling good on a Friday. You and I are going to be seeing each other in the physical space just hours from now as you're more localized to me. So we'll get to spend some time together. I'll just say at the top, man, before we dive in on some more Nets stuff and kind of league stuff and this funny little narrative that doesn't seem to want to go away because some people just don't want to let it go away. Our
us.
Theme music gets me pumped up. Yeah, we're a part of that, by the way. That was the whole pie. We're a slice in there. We are also interested in talking about it. But no, I was just thinking about how when we play our theme music, it gets me jacked up, friend. I got to say, for something that we carried over from the first iteration of this thing, I get a little buzz in my body. So I'm carrying that energy right into the podcast as we start things off.
Well, let me jump in there on that because one thing you don't get to see on YouTube, if you're over on YouTube, make sure you just go, the link is in the show notes here for YouTube. But one thing you don't see is because we have the opening intro with the music playing over it, but Adam and I can see each other during that time, but it's not live on camera, and both of us are just kind of bopping along. Our heads are bopping. I hope your heads are bopping along, too. And we got the little Brooklyn chant in the back as well. So
our boy Bones.
So shout out to Bones. If you hear that Brooklyn chant in the back, that's was one of our listeners back in the old days when we did the old days of, you know, 2 months ago when we were doing some live stuff. app that we're not really supposed to mention. So anyway, okay, off-season stuff. You can take us into where you were going now that we've kind of rambled our way through the first 5 minutes here.
As one does on a Friday show. So we talked about it, right? The silliness of the speculation or anyone bringing up the idea of a Kyrie Irving for a Ben Simmons trade. And we want to get into a little bit of examination around franchises and how they're organized and constructed, but it was worth it. I thought this one tickled my bones here because it seems to happen a lot when someone has a narrative or a take that they put out there and they either walk it back or sometimes think they are, but don't. Stephen A. Smith, who was addressing the idea that people tied this trade speculation to him. His response on Twitter was, "Here we go again with the lies. I never said any trade offers were made regarding Kyrie and the Brooklyn Nets. What I said is they would do a deal to swap Kyrie for Ben Simmons in a heartbeat. But Kevin Durant ain't having it. He loves his brother Kyrie. He won't have that." Does that ring like somebody who is trying to deny the idea of what he was saying? Or someone who maybe just kind of gets caught in this weird cycle of wanting to say what you said? You want to make the point. You want to talk about this. And you don't know how to say it without kind of tripping over your own words.
So we're going to get into organizational steadiness here in a second about how the like how these sort of the Sixers and the Nets compare. But this Stephen A. Smith quote is so funny, and we'll lead us. It'll actually lead us into this because we'll talk about why the Simmons thing is even a thing.
Yeah.
But this was like the perfect example of everything wrong with national media discourse, because he said something probably patently false. He said that he was blamed for saying something patently false because it was misconstrued. Then said he basically did say that thing, except the thing that would never happen, except the Nets would do it, except Kevin Durant wouldn't do it. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's like, I call it backpedaling. It's not even backpedaling, because it's like sideways pedaling into the ocean or something like that. It doesn't even make sense. It's saying, I said it, except wait a second, I didn't say that. I kind of meant the exact same thing. So there.
I didn't say that. Were I to have had said it, I would have believed it. Not that I did or I am, but there's a chance that I might be. And also, if it turns out, then I was probably right. Like, and that's what I think to your point, yeah. The weird thing around, you know, the whatever hot take kind of culture around sports and stuff is like, I don't even mind the hot takes. Like, I don't mind if you're like, I like to shoot from the hip. Here's a wacky idea. Like, you can throw them out there. It's also totally fine to own it. And be like, yeah, I that would be interesting. Like, it's only when you take yourself so seriously that you can't afford the ability to have a take be something that someone calls you out for. I'm like, I don't know, maybe I was wrong, right? Like, if I right now told you, boy, wouldn't it be crazy if they traded James Harden for Giannis? Like, whatever. Okay. Yeah. It never happens. Great. I know. I thought it was funny. It was interesting. Like, hiding from your own words is the really weird piece of it to me.
That is a hot take. This is by Stephen A. is not a hot take. This is like a sort of disguised as being sourced thing, which it's not.
Like a soft-boiled egg take.
It's like implying that it's sourced, even though it's not really sourced, right? This is how you imply that something, this is how you take a hot take and then imply that there's other information around it without actually ever saying it, and then get mad when people kind of call you out for it. This is because your thing is just a hot take. It's like, oh, Giannis for Harden, that'd be an interesting trade, right? This team would do it, this team wouldn't do it, and you know, these are my hot takey reasons for why I think it is. It's not a hot take to say they were going to trade this guy, but Kevin Durant didn't allow it to happen, and sort of not say, because you'll notice when real reporters, and by the way, Stephen A. Smith used to be one, he's not anymore, but real reporters will say, sources say. If you read like Lowe or Woj or Shams or guys like this, they'll make sure that they know that this isn't them, just like you said, shooting from the proverbial hip and saying something out of context. This is, it's saying, I've heard it from another person, my sources are telling me this. My whole entire reputation as a journalist is based on my sources, because when my sources become, you know, sort of degraded or untrustworthy, then me as a reporter is therefore untrustworthy as well. As opposed to just someone that has to get up on camera every day and just say something. And because you can't show, when you're on these hot take shows, you can't show up and be like, dude, guess what? No news. Crazy. So should we just run a rerun or something like that? Or should we just do a best of? Because I got to tell you, there's just nothing going on today. It's when you realize that this is the sort of the information feed has to be filled no matter what. Like, for instance, this will be the last thing I say about this, by the way, because we're already kind of going over. But like Shams and Woj, I'm just going to use those two as the best sort of reporting guys out there for reporting actual news. This is the thing that's happened. They don't have a tweet quota. Could you imagine if they had to send out one tweet an hour about news from the NBA? What would end up happening to their feeds? Right. Like, this is that's the equivalent to this situation. Right. It's like if those guys had a tweet quota that they had to hit every single day, sure as heck. And I'm saying that because I don't want to get banned on YouTube. Can't curse over there. Sure as heck, these guys, you would start getting information that wasn't really information. Because you just got to fill the quota. Something has to go into the void. And so I think that's the situation here. So anyway, yeah, very funny to sort of watch how that unfolded. All right, let's talk a little Sixers here. So about the comparison. What we wanted to talk about today was how we enter the season with the Nets arguably the most stable franchise in basketball right now. And I don't mean just stable from a like they're going to win the championship kind of thing. That's not really stability. But if you look around the league with all of the stuff that's going on, and the Sixers are a great example, it's so easy to look at the Nets now as not only the favorites in the clubhouse to win the championship, But the favorites to just be like sort of the least drama team in the world based on how internally and only like these national narrative media stuff can actually make it so it's not that case. But yeah. The stability around the organization right now is basically unparalleled. And it really stands in stark juxtaposition to what's happening in Philly.
Well, that is what's so interesting around any of these speculations or rumors. You start to then just think about those players and think about the teams that they're on. So when you look at Kyrie, and you know, you made a distinction there about internally and about national narrative, right? Because nationally, there's all the speculation all during last season about Kyrie and what it was or was not. But internally, they're comfortable with those superstars, with their personalities, with what they're trying to accomplish there. On the other side of it, in Ben Simmons, you think about this idea of, I don't know, irony is not the right word, but having a player of, he's a young player, he's a talented player. He's not on the level of any of the players that the Nets have in Brooklyn, and yet he is creating this very disruptive circumstance, or is at least a part of one, in an organization that has been spending a very long time trying to be stable and trying to be on the right path and seemingly falling further and further from that goal. I want to get into more details with it in a second here, but just before we do, when you talk about stability, I'm sure the Brooklyn Nets are all diving in on Built Bars because they create a stability in your body. Why? Because these are delicious tasting and healthy for you bars that you can grab on the go with flavors like coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie. I've been eating double chocolate this week. The good news for me is I don't have family members like Doug does foraging through the boxes when they come in the mail. I take them for myself. I hide them from Courtney. Job well done. And the good thing about it, as I say, is that you get all of these quality ingredients inside of it. None of that chalkiness or weirdness from some other protein bars. 17 to 18 grams of protein, just 130 to 180 calories, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. It's amazing flavors. They're all tasty and they're all healthy for you. You can go ahead over to Built.com and use promo code Locked On and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code Locked On for 15% off at Built.com. So, but what is your stance then on what is occurring right now in Philadelphia? Because I mentioned it there around looking for stability. They started their trust the process years before the Nets started their rebuild under Sean Marks. So like, how do things go so awry? How have things gone so awry there for them? Like, how have you created this fracture between one of your key star cornerstone players? Doc Rivers was kind of at the center of this last year, yeah, in the playoffs and creating this atmosphere.
So this is what I mean about like the organizational piece top down, right? And so it's not just a Ben Simmons thing to me. It's a Philadelphia 76ers thing. And for those that don't know, I'm going to sum it up in three sentences here. Ben Simmons has asked to be traded from the 76ers, says he won't report to camp this year. This is stemming from the end of the season last year where he kind of had a meltdown in the playoffs, specifically in the fourth quarter games. And when they ended up losing to the Hawks, Doc Rivers had made some comments, I'm paraphrasing here, where he had said, is Ben Simmons a point guard on a championship level team? And Doc said something to the effect of, I don't know. Okay. So this is like, these are the bullet points.
Smart.
So the problem here is an organization that's disconnected from the top down to the player. And it shows in how things play out, right? And a good example of this, as by comparison, would be what you mentioned what happened with Kyrie last year, where there was a national narrative around it, and there was a very clear talking point from the Nets and saying, hey, will you support Kyrie Irving? He's our guy. This is what, you know, if he needs to do what he needs to do off the basketball court, this is fine. He sat out those games, ended up coming back, and basically we all just moved on, right? Yep. That situation, and put in the hands of a different team that doesn't have a good organizational philosophy and structure, would have been a disaster. Disaster. Like we basically saw it happen with the Celtics, right? Like, yeah. there was situations where your team has a very difficult time weathering that. Think about, you know, the trade where they trade away the young stars to bring back in James Harden, who had just come off of a tumultuous time exiting Houston. Okay, worked out fine. You know, get him in there, all the right talking points, everyone has a steady hand, and we move on. You know, the Dinwiddie thing: are we going to re-sign him or not re-sign him? He wants more money. We love Spencer Dinwiddie, but we don't have the money, so we're going to make sure he gets to the place he wants. All this stuff, mm-hmm, right? There's all this stuff that kind of just has a very professional hand to it. Then you go over to the Sixers, where it's like you bring in Daryl Morey, who's, you know, by all accounts great, but maybe Simmons isn't his guy. Then they try to shop him for Harden. It doesn't really work, right? Then they have Doc Rivers, who kind of goes off the cuff with what he says after the game. Maybe they catch him in a moment of sort of like the aftermath of the game, and it's an emotional time, and he says the wrong thing. And then you have a guy like Simmons who probably hasn't done the things he needed to have done to be a better basketball player, and for whatever reason, the organization can't really motivate him to do those things. It's just such it's so different on every level that it's frankly it's like startling.
Well, so specifically on for the 76ers then though, like you said, they shopped him, but there was some sense that they were unwilling to give up Simmons in the trade for James Harden. So, like, which is it? You bring in a new guy to run the team, you bring in a new head coach who has a great track record, is well known, well established in the league. If the consensus was Doc Rivers is telling you we can't win with Ben Simmons at the point guard, then you have to move him. It didn't even have to be in the Harden trade. Then you have to move him. His value is still high. Move the player when you have the chance to, and just say we philosophically are moving away from Ben Simmons, you know, or from that style of basketball. It's not a knock, to your point. Carry over some of these themes, right? It's not a knock on the individual. It's just what we want to accomplish as an organization, and we wish Ben nothing but the best. Like, do you think that they wanted to accomplish that and failed to, or that they genuinely were caught in between about whether or not they thought it was possible? Because to me, if you're going to put him in those conversations, then it means they wanted to move on from him, and short of getting a superstar like James Harden, then they said, well, we couldn't possibly move him. And that's like the first misstep in a series of missteps going forward, because now you have a head coach that isn't happy about having him, the team's not happy, then Embiid's not happy, and it all just starts to crumble.
Yeah, so I think it's just that they don't know sometimes. Sometimes if an organization is a little disconnected, and this can happen, by the way, when there's organizational hierarchy turnover at the top, and like with assets or whatever that are pre-existing, so they might not have been part of what you wanted to do to begin with or whatever, and so there can be a disconnect. In the case with this one, I think they just think they don't know. They kind of didn't know if they were coming or going, and when you don't know if you're coming or going on a guy, this is what ends up happening. In the worst case scenario, it can not work out like this. I think Simmons is culpable too in some of this stuff. I don't think this is all organizational. I think like he probably has to be held a little bit accountable for some skill stuff. But in general, this is what happens when there's like total crazy disconnect around what the plan is, and that's what allows situations to devolve into this. So I don't know like if it knows. I don't know if it knows if that was the intention, or they knew or they didn't know. All I know is a very stable organization with good structure at the top all the way down into, you know, players that have kind of bought into a certain idea, this would never happen with. And like I said, it could have just happened with the Nets last year and didn't.
Yeah, and you mentioned Spencer Dinwiddie, right? Like, he could have been, even through his injury, been chirping about what he deserved, and he talked about what his value was, what he wanted to get, but everything along that line from both sides was, we love Spencer Dinwiddie, he loves Brooklyn. It was very copacetic. Same thing with DeAndre Jordan, right? Like, he could have, during last year, gotten to a place where he was like, well, what's going on here? Like, you're fading me down the stretch. I've been playing all year. I should be starting. Why aren't you using him in the playoffs? Like, you could have heard a lot of that, and that's what you heard from Philadelphia during the playoffs, from Joel Embiid. After Ben Simmons misses the point-blank layup under the rim, Embiid all but goes, I don't know how the fudge, explicit tag avoided, you managed to miss that shot. Like,
well, no, remember, so that, he didn't miss it. He didn't miss it. He dumped it off to Thibault. Like, he didn't. No,
take it. He passed up the dunk from point blank.
Yeah, yes. He passed up a wide open dunk to give it to the worst shooter on the team, who was standing, right, you know, under the basket.
Right. And by the way, let's go a layer deeper, because the parallels are actually pretty impressive. Bruce Brown. Right, he takes that shot, and everyone afterwards is saying, boy, are you upset with Bruce Brown for taking that look? You have all these shooters around, all the national narrative. Everybody inside was like, yeah, listen, you know, we want Bruce to make that shot. We hope that he does. Obviously, we'll look back at that play and see what we could have done better, but we move on to the next game. Like, every single time along the path, the Brooklyn Nets, now under this regime, has been very good at saying, yeah, maybe there is a problem there, an issue there. We'll see. By the way, it's not for you guys. It's not for the media to let us know if there's an issue here or tell us what level of concern we should have. We'll communicate to you what's going on internally, as opposed to almost buying in to the national narratives and reacting and responding to what people outside your organization are telling you, as opposed to you coming to your own conclusions.
And when you were at the level the Nets are right now, which is the very top of the mountain in terms of expectation, you will have people talking about you. Like this doesn't mean that you, by having good structure and having a good philosophy and having, you know, good just like stability, that you avoid these things. No, what you avoid is getting dragged down into the quicksand on it, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're always, people are going to continue making up stories around the Nets this year because they're a very popular team that is on a championship run. When you're on a championship run, the expectations, especially on a national media scale, become different. People are going to want, there's going to be A blocks and B blocks of shows. They're going to want to say, hey, we got to talk about the Nets here. So let's get going on this, right? That's just going to happen. So you don't avoid the talk by being good like this. You just respond to it better. Right. Yeah. You don't get dragged into it. You don't go down into someone's level. You frankly never even issue a response to this stuff, and good on them. Sometimes you'll see these guys clap back a little bit on social media. They're both pretty good at it at this point. KD's especially great at it when stuff like this comes up. Kyrie's a little different
for it in some ways.
What'd you say?
I said Kevin Durant lives for it in some ways. Like he definitely does.
100%. He loves it. But he's also super good. He's really, really good at it. And he's really good at responding to it and sort of shutting it down. Or, he definitely doesn't turn the other cheek. He does something else that kind of maybe sometimes belittles the mouthpiece that said it. But so you're never going to avoid the talk as a team. You just are going to respond to it better. And that's the key. And that's why when this, frankly, junk, and I know we're talking about it when it comes to Stephen A, but it's important because here's the thing. This is going to go on all year. This will happen all year with the Nets. The Nets are going to be a great team. They are a great team now. They're a great team on paper. They're a great team on the court. A lot can happen, actually, for them not to be a great team. They are going to be in this national media spotlight all year, and it's very warming in some sense to know that we should be able to talk about this knowing that the Nets' response to it is almost always good. And we've complained about the Nets. Like, do we love their injury reporting all the time? No. Right? This isn't fully complimentary of them. There's some things from a covering the team standpoint that I really wish there was more of. I sometimes wish there was a little bit more forward-facing stuff around, hey, when's he coming back? Sometimes.
I got an ish timeline, right?
Sometimes
for you.
Like that can be a little frustrating. but in general, we just know it's going to be a full season worth of this for sure. And I feel very confident that the response will not really vary or differ from a response standpoint, because it's just going to be steady the whole time.
Yeah, that's the idea. And so, I mean, listen, we obviously from the inside watching and covering the Nets as much as we do, we think about them and then kind of base our comparisons off of it. So I want to go around the league a little bit and think about these other teams that maybe are in kind of similar circumstances or at varying levels of it, and whether or not it impacts their success. Before we do, though, got to remind everybody, I have a car. I don't know if you do. Doug has like 6 or 7 of them, depending on where he's headed, what he's doing. He's a rich man, very wealthy with his automobiles. But the thing he's not wealthy in is knowledge around cars themselves. So you can save yourself some time and money, Doug, when you use Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the same parts that a chain store is going to give you or a dealership? You head over to Rock Auto. It's a family-run business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every single customer. They have everything you could need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpeting to freshen up your look. You get over there on rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
When you're finished up with Rock Auto, just remember that sports and NFL specifically is back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron for week 3 coming up here in the NFL season. As always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this year. They have updated site interface. It's great. Go over and check out Bet Online. It's really, really sleek. Odds, props, contests, it's all there. Number one source for everything football. Head on over to the website. Sign up today. You're going to get 100% welcome bonus for new customers. You're going to double that initial deposit. You have to use the promo code LOCKEDON. Football, basketball, boxing, maybe you're into that, MMA. Everything you need, maybe Vegas casino games is your jam. Bet Online has it all there for you. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Promo code locked on, 100% matching welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
So in the landscape of the league, when we think about stable organizations, and usually you associate being able to win championships with a level of stability. The Miami Heat like kind of immediately come to mind with how consistent they've been under Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra. They have turnover of players and different personnel, but they're always very steady as they go from season to season. Is there a team, because I think the Lakers are obviously a little bit more in flux around things. Like, they become kind of an interesting watch this season, adding in Russell Westbrook to the mix. But are there high talent teams around the league right now that you think the stability of their organization, like the 76ers, is a part of their downfall or their inability to get to the next level?
You know, I would have actually said this about the Bucks until they won the championship. Yeah. It's funny how like winning, winning will cure a lot of these things. It's actually teams that don't win that don't have these issues that I find to be a little bit more, you take it with a little less than a grain of salt, because I think last year, you know, how close were the Bucks to just saying we're going to fire the coach? We don't know right. if we're doing the right thing here. We don't know if we built this correctly, blah, blah, blah. So I would have actually said a little different about them. Then they win the championship and all of those sins get kind of instantly forgiven. Obviously, the Sixers are problematic. You know, the Knicks kind of have come and gone with this kind of thing for years and years and years. It seems like it's getting better with Tibbs. I still think they punched a little bit above their weight, but again, winning helps this. In some ways, because it looks maybe more stable. Let's see how they go into year two, because we know they've really, really struggled with this kind of thing for many, many years around not knowing sort of what the plan is. They do have a new group in there, so I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, Hawks just ended up firing a coach last year, also kind of punched above their weight a little bit, so we'll see how they go. Celtics are going through massive turnover here in the coaching and GM ranks. Wizards, you never know if Beal's going to be out the door. There's a lot of stories here that these, and that's just the East, by the way, these teams that enter the season with all these question marks and have had, just in recent years, decent amount of turnover at the top. Now, you want to put the Nets in that category too, because Kenny Atkinson? Okay, I can see that. Yeah. That'd be a fair criticism. I think a good sign for them is that Jacques Vaughn was the head coach and then agreed to be assistant coach, right? Like, that's a sign of this kind of thing, this like Machiavellian shift around power and stuff isn't really happening with their team, maybe in the same way. So I would use that as an example that would sort of, you know, go against the Atkinson thing. And I think maybe there was some chance that Atkinson wanted out as much as the organization kind of wanted to move on. Mm. And so that's speculation. So, but just going through the East, you can just see this sort of like, there's been lots of just waves around these teams that, and maybe I'm just being harsher on them than I am on the Nets, but I don't know. No one's really shooting. I think the Sixers have shot themselves in the foot here. I don't think there's anyone on that level right now.
No, and that's probably right. I mean, like, in that sense too, it's, you know, we're talking about what's gone wrong with the 76ers or how organizations can fail sometimes, but we're talking about a pretty impressive level of failure in the regard to the talent you have on your roster and what the expectations are and the inability. I mean, listen, at least be making, you know, you should have had a finals appearance by this stage of that process, quote unquote. The team that jumped out to me just quickly in the East from a team that has lacked success in very recent history, as in last season, the Toronto Raptors are a team that, to me, with Nick Nurse as the head coach, you think about that organization, you go, okay, things are going to look different here over the next couple of seasons. Also, I feel really good about us being able to maintain a level of stability, build our roster back up, and still be a competitive team. So that's kind of on the positive swing of it.
Well, can I just say, I just agree with you real quick, because that was going to be the next team I put in the Nets category in that class of, they've had turnover among the ranks, especially with players and stuff like that. And they had a really bad season, and they've had some internal like turmoil among their stars. Like, Siakam has been reported as not being happy, and you still feel very good about how they're sort of built and structured. And, you know, Majiri's still there, and so I was going to put them sort of in the Nets class around that.
Golden State kind of comes to mind too, in that vein with what they've been able to do, rise and fall. Yep. A team that I was interested just to get your take on here before we get out on a Friday, the Dallas Mavericks. Like, they have one of the premier talents in the league, like a guy that you expect to be winning potentially MVPs over, you know, in the coming years of his career, multiple. They go out and make a change at head coach, and I could make the case that maybe it's the answer. And also, Jason Kidd is a head coach that has a track record of being a little up and down. Now, he went and sat behind some really talented guys and maybe has learned a lot since getting into the coaching ranks, but that feels like a Mark Cuban, very stable owner. I mean, very reliable, very consistent, supports his players. But this feels a little bit like you could be on the edge of swinging in the wrong direction and getting into dangerous waters potentially, depending on how this season goes and how the talent around Luka looks.
Yeah, so I would put them on the opposite end of the spectrum, and I have a bunch. There's a bunch of reasons why. So the first is Rick Carlisle, who had been their coach forever, wanted out. He has a generational talent in front of him on the court with him, and he's like, I'll coach the Pacers. You know, like that looks pretty good. Now maybe he's been in Dallas for a long time. Blah blah blah.
You know, Steve Nash almost said that when they offered the Nets job. He said, Kevin Durant and Kyrie, you're thinking about getting Harden.
Often that you see coaches in a position walk away from being able to coach a generational talent. No. That's usually what you actually. So that's warning sign number one. Warning sign number two is their longtime GM, Donnie Nelson Jr., who actually predated Cuban in terms of ownership. Like, he was with the organization prior to Cuban buying the team, was like, dude, I'm out too. Like, he just flat out resigned. So then those two things happen. They have the story come out about Haralba Valgaris, who actually just tweeted out this morning. I know this isn't a Dallas Mavericks, Bob. Go over and listen to the Locked On Mavericks. I'm sure they have stuff about this. But he actually, Haral Bob, who had the Athletic piece written around him and how his influence over the organization had really ramped up. He actually said that asked to be let out of his contract and was denied. Since then, I've been waiting for my contract to expire. Interesting. So he tweeted that out this morning. So I would say this organization is the opposite in terms of sort of knowing what the plan is, because there's been such massive turnover there that I would be very concerned about.
Oh, no, that's what I mean. Yeah, I feel like they've gone from perceptually being very stable from the top down, and now over like the last 8 months, all of a sudden you go, whoa, like things may be going in a total opposite direction. And if you're if you're Luka right now in this moment, you may be taking a really, step back look and saying, like, where is this headed here?
Yeah. Right, I think that was going to be. We didn't discuss which teams we were going to pick up here, but these are the two teams that you and I were in lockstep on. Which two teams kind of existed on the opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to this? They're not the only ones, but for sure, the Mavericks one is like the total opposite. Right? It's you have the now. I think the ownership is good, but I'm not sure. I mean, Cuban. It's hard to argue with what Cuban's done, so I'm not going to kind of go against Cuban here. But it's super concerning when basically people at all levels of the organization who, again, have like the one thing every team is trying to get, which is an all-time generational dude. Like, this is how you win championships, having just this guy. I'm not saying Luka is going to win championship, but this is the type of player that you die for, basically, as an organization, and it falls into your lap at three somehow, and now you have him, and you can build something around him. And like every single person is like, you know what? It's been fun. I'll go see what else is out there. That is so concerning from an organizational thing that it frankly makes no sense. It's probably underreported in how unprecedented it is that you would have. Just imagine, it's not the exact same because he's not as good, but imagine everyone associated with the Cavs when LeBron was like 22 or whatever, being like, you know what? It's not for me. And their owner was a mess. Like, their owner was a total mess, and people still are kind of like, you know what? I kind of want to attach my, hitch my wagon to the star. And the fact that no one wanted to do it is just so, I find it so weird. I've never gotten good explanations around any of that.
It'd be Phil Jackson being like, Michael Jordan, I guess, but I don't know. There's probably some better options out. You don't bail on them when you got
right.
No, he's not. No, he's not. But, and like you said, he's not them. But when you get a guy even sniffing around the fringe of the edge of them, you don't walk away from that. And the other one, I think I'll just as a quick toss in, is when the Boston Celtics had Kyrie Irving, whatever broke down there, that's neither here nor there. But then you see what's happened to them. Now it's Brad Stevens moving up into the office. Now they came over to the Nets organization and got their new head coach, and maybe they're moving in the right direction. But those are those things. It's usually, I think, when you look at things in a 18-month stretch, right, something that bridges from one season to another, from an off season then through the next one, where you end up connecting some of these dots and you go, boy, there's some interesting threads to pull on here. And if you pull too long, you realize that there aren't answers at the end of them. You end up getting to a spot where it's like, here's another question mark. Okay. And it keeps going down that road. So
By the way, we didn't even mention, like, the Timberwolves fired their GM yesterday because Gerson Rojas.
But now the Timberwolves, on the other hand, not unlike, I think, like the Kings, that's the kind of team where you go, eh, I don't really know if it matters what you guys do. There's pretty much a trajectory for your franchises, and it's not
going to happen. They fired, was he GM or president of basketball operations? He was one of the two, but he had some other stuff going on behind the scenes that kind of came out from Shams today. I'll let you go over and read Twitter about that. I don't want to say this on the thing because I don't...
No.
I want to make sure this is correct. Anyway, so point being, just to round this out, we like to sometimes take a look as a Locked On Nets podcast to say, yeah, you know, we want to follow the Nets, but we also sometimes it's good to do things by comparison and just look around the league and say, hey, look, it might not have felt like this for a long time, but there's been a lot of signs building here for the Nets in recent years that this is an organization that is so far on the right track that it just creates such a positive feeling about rooting for them too, I guess is my point. So I think sometimes you can get caught rooting for a team that you just rooted for a long time and you kind of just do it by, you do it just because it's, part of your daily functioning and you're just going to do it even though you're going to be mad at it or whatever. It's just so nice to be in a place with the Nets here where you can root for them because they're the team that you want to root for, but you can also root for them because you can feel like their organization, at least in this current iteration over the last couple of years, that just knows how to do things correctly.
Yeah, and as every year that I get older is the more that I value people and individuals and who they are and what they stand for, and it correlates. It's a lot easier to root for. We talked about it with LMA, and Sean Marks and how they handle that. All of these pieces, it's like, it's a lot easier to root for good guys and root for guys that seem like they're doing it well. So that being the case, it's a good thing we have the podcast.
All right. Thanks for making Locked On Nets your first listen of the day. We really appreciate it. Make sure you are checking out YouTube. Link is in the show notes. Videos going up every single day on YouTube. Like I said, starting next week, 5 days a week here on the feed, talking Nets every single day, up on YouTube every day. Make sure you subscribe over on YouTube so you know when those videos go up. It has been awesome, awesome response to those so far. Jump into the comments on YouTube. That's been so far our best way to really interact with fans. Sometimes podcast feeds don't really give you that. And that's one of the reasons we're really excited to be on YouTube as well because of the comments that are coming in. Adam and I respond to every single comment so far. And that's our plan to do it. Really, unless 2,000 comments a day, we'll probably dial it back a little bit, but as in its current form right now, if you make a comment on there, we're going to jump back at you. So ask a question, make a comment, and Adam or I changed my profile pic just to so I can comment better because Adam said I had to change my profile pic. So new profile pic over there. Make sure you like and subscribe to YouTube right away.
Quick shout out to McBean over on Twitter, Mr. McBean, however you want to phrase yourself. We're going to get into the roster next week. We're going to start diving in on the back end. Guys, we want to see on that second two-way how we round out this roster heading into the regular season. So I heard you. I responded to you. We will get to it starting on Monday, so check that out. By the way, though, valor is stability, not of legs and arms, but of courage and of the soul. Mitchell Desmontaigne.
Oh, one of the all-time great poets. We'll be back again next week. Talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.